WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Still no motive for a crash at the U.S.-Canada border near Niagara Falls, where two people died. Witnesses say their car was speeding before it swerved and blew up.
I saw people trying to turn to go back to the United States. And they're being told you can't do that right now.
The border crossing is closed now in both directions. Ontario Police Constable Kerry Schmidt.
We are dealing with an ongoing closure of the border crossings that connect Western New York, New York State, Buffalo to Ontario, Canada.
Former FBI agent Doug Coons.
It's one of the busiest travel days of the year. People are going to be concerned, they're going to be afraid, and that's usually the point of terrorism, is to cause fear and disruption.
Agents have said it's still too soon to tell whether this was an attempt at terror, but police are on alert across the entire state of New York. CBS News Special Report. I'm Monica Ricks.
You probably heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day, but to celebrate with those.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The opening weekend of Wisconsin's gun deer season was one of the safest on record. Only two people were injured by gunshots, and one of them accidentally shot themselves. Lieutenant Mike Weber heads the Department of Natural Resources hunter education efforts.
That reduction in incidents, I think, is obviously directly related to the work of the hunter education program, and then the people that go through the program really applying what they learned in the program.
92,000 deer were killed last weekend. That's 16% fewer than last year and 10% lower than the five-year average. Flags across Wisconsin are lowered to honor the victims of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, which happened 2 years ago today. A permanent memorial was dedicated in Waukesha yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Trumbull County Sheriff's Office has announced a man drowned in Lake Maranooka during a mental health crisis. According to law enforcement officials, the sheriff's office responded to a call just after 8 a.m. on Tuesday for a man said to be having a mental health crisis. Officials say the man ignored intervention options and walked into the lake. The sheriff's office conducted a rescue operation, but the man was found deceased after an approximately two-hour search. Officials did not identify the man. A proposal in the Wisconsin State Senate would give prosecutors more leeway in addressing second-degree sexual assaults from the past. The proposal would extend the statute of limitations on prosecuting the crime from 10 to 20 years. It was previously proposed in the state legislature by State Senator Andre Jacques of DePere and passed in the state Senate before stalling in the state assembly. Jacques cited advancements in technology, particularly in DNA evidence, as a reason for the proposal. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's the Bucks against the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics. Tip-off time at TD Garden, 6:30. The Bucks have a five-game winning streak going, while Giannis, coming off Monday night's game, scoring 42 points.
I wish it was easy. I wish I could come in and score 42 every game, you know, but it's hard. You got to work extremely hard.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers in Florida. For the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament, they take on SMU in the championship game. NFL, the Packers play the Lions tomorrow. In the annual Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit, kickoff 11:30 tomorrow morning at Ford Field. Matt LaFleur says that rookie tight end Luke Musgrave had to be hospitalized after suffering an abdominal injury against the Chargers. LaFleur telling the story when this happened.
Yeah, he's got a pretty significant injury. So, you know, I think it just speaks to his toughness because he didn't. Wow. That was interesting. Was that Taylor Swift? Okay.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, some clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and colder for Thanksgiving Day, a high in the low 30s. Sunshine at around 30 on Friday, more clouds around in mid-30s for the rest of the holiday weekend. And it looks like the cold temperatures will stick around next week. It's 42 right now.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown and all of Wisconsin. 93.5, The Tap.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. We're going to the lines. Jack Merrimack, my friend, thanks for calling. Jack, what's in your mind today?
Well, you made a statement earlier that America is not Germany. Well, Germany wasn't Germany of the 1930s until Germany was Germany of the 1930s. And there were pretty solid signs of the direction it was heading. Hitler had already actually been arrested and imprisoned, and I think he was sent up for a couple of years. When he was released, he just rallied and he got his people together, and they essentially convinced them, the German people, to vote them in. Using a variety of techniques that we see happening here, things like taking marginalized groups and promoting prejudices against them and promoting actions against them. And then once he got in, he took over. Well, I'm sure that, you know, you're a historian much more than I am, sure. But he took over the military. He took over the courts. He took over the justice system. And this was all supported by about a third of the German people. Roughly two-thirds of the German people never supported this. This is sounding way scary familiar.
Yeah, you know, that's a very good point. And let me draw one other analogy. And they had things that they were fighting, which was the Depression and the Versailles Treaty, which had put these enormous reparation burdens on Germany that we don't. But having said all that, remember something. The First World War, there hadn't been a sort of continent-wide war in a long time. I mean, yeah, there was the Franco-Prussian War and all that, but people were sort of oddly eager to get into a war. Did you know that in some of the initial battles, you know, British officers and German officers facing each other with bayonets across a field would kick a soccer ball at each other? And then they would yell soccer-type chants and go in and then bayonet each other. That didn't last long, but still, that's what it was. When the Versailles Treaty was signed, Germany did not have to get into the First World War. Germany, when the Serbian nationalists assassinated the Archduke Ferdinand, Germany was much more powerful than Serbia, demanded all sorts of things, and it got them except one. The one thing that Serbia would not agree was that if a Serb on Serbian territory committed a crime against a German, he would be tried in Serbia. And the Germans wanted them deported to Germany to be tried there. And to me, I mean, how much brains does it take? Okay, you sign this thing, and then if they kill a German, you go down and grab them. I mean, but because of that, Germany declared war on Serbia, and everybody had this interconnected series of alliances, and everybody declared war on everybody else. Well, when it was over, Germany was really crippled economically, and there was no Marshall Plan like we did for Europe and for Germany after the Second World War. They went after him. Throughout the 20s, there were fights in the streets between Nazi gangs and communist gangs. And when I say communists, the Germans were afraid of that because you're thinking, you know, Lenin and then Stalin. I mean, there was a real threat. And nobody knew who the Nazis were. And there's a chilly comment that one of them made to the other sometime in the late 20s. Somebody said, there are violent anti-Semitic gangs roaming the streets of Berlin. And the other guy said, yes, but not enough of them. Right now, let me be very blunt. If the Proud Boys, the Oath Keepers, the Three Percenters, and the Ku Klux Klan were to get together and were to attack people in these pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel parades, people had to take sides. They always take sides on the side of the right wing, certainly in European history. And so what's happening now is a perception of violence on both sides. Clearly, on the right wing, it's worse, insurrection, death threats, Trump and all that. But increasingly, you had a Jewish man killed in Thousand Oaks, California, during the parade. You had a Jewish kid in Tulane get his nose broken. And you have death threats and swastika threats. And if this election is perceived as an election between violence on the right and violence on the left, or potential violence on the right or potential violence on the left, historically, that does not come out well. We have got to put a stop to this. And I think that's a great call, as always. Thank you so much. We'll go to the next caller. I see somebody there. I don't see a description of his name. So as soon as we have a description of his name, I'll call on him. Okay, I want to get to the next thing I want to talk about. Next thing I want to talk about. In Colorado, you are not going to believe this. This particular decision, good and the bad. There was a judge, Judge Sarah Wallace, of the Colorado court. And after this was the lawsuit to throw Trump off the ballot. And here are her findings. She said, quote, the court finds that Trump engaged in an insurrection on January 6, 2021 through incitement, and that the First Amendment does not protect Trump's speech. Bingo. Victory. That is a factual finding that he committed an insurrection through incitement. It's not protected by the First Amendment. The 14th Amendment then says clearly he shouldn't be on the ballot. And here she goes on and says this. She declined to apply the 14th Amendment. Here's her thinking. This is unbelievable thinking. I'll tell you why I think she did it. She said, quote, the 14th Amendment says no person shall hold any office under the United States, in other words, a federal office, who having taken an oath to support the Constitution shall have engaged in insurrection against the same, end quote. And here's what she then found. She found that Trump is not running for a federal office. It's, quote, only, end quote, president. Are you kidding me? You don't have to be a lawyer to read this. Are you kidding me? You're saying that the presidency of the United States is not a federal office? It's the executive branch of the federal government. It's the exclusive executive branch of the federal government. And then she went on to say that Trump did not take an oath to support the Constitution. He, quote, only, end quote, took an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Because the word support is not in the presidential oath, but only preserve and protect. Therefore, he can commit an insurrection. You know what that's like saying? That's like saying that in the Confederate Army, you could not run for Congress or Senate if basically you were a soldier or a junior officer. But if you're Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson and are running for president, that's not a, quote, federal office, and you didn't, quote, take an oath to support the Constitution. Give me a break. Do you think that the people who drafted the 14th Amendment believe that it was okay for Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson or Jefferson Davis to run for president of the United States and that they meant to exclude them? You have to have common sense application of what these words mean. If a guy takes an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution, which is the presidential oath, he has taken an oath to support it. Preserve and protect it is stronger than support it. Secondly, it's flat out false and known by her to be false that the president is not a federal officer. There are three branches of the federal government: judiciary, legislative, and executive. The president is the executive. He's the one who appoints the administrative agencies. He's the one who appoints judges. He's the executive. This was just flatly false. So what happened was the original holding was terrific. He committed insurrections not protected by the First Amendment. However, she chickened out. Now, why did she chicken out? I think there's two possible things. One, she didn't want death threats. This is having an effect, Trump's threats against people. And that may be part of it. But the other part of it is whoever throws Trump off the ballot, and this is a far deeper and more profound issue, whoever throws Trump off of the ballot is going to go against the wishes of the vast majority of the Republican electorate, according to the polls, and probably against the wishes of close to 50% of the general electorate. Why do I say that? Yeah, I know the polls that say that Trump is slightly ahead of Biden. They're all baloney. Biden will beat Trump, but Trump will get a vote. Biden got 81 million popular votes, 7 million more than Trump, but Trump got 74 million. This particular 14th Amendment provision didn't envision somebody running for the presidency of the United States who had shown some chops, some legs in terms of broad political support. If Robert E. Lee or Stonewall Jackson or any of these people had run, Jefferson Davis, they wouldn't have gotten Schneider in popular opinion in the North. But that's not the case here. I think what she did is she's afraid of death threats, and she also wanted somebody higher up the chain, the appellate court, the Colorado Supreme Court, to make the decision. Now, when it gets to the Colorado Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court has turned down throwing him off the ballot stemming from other lawsuits in other states. And because they're noncommittal about it, but very likely they are, first of all, they're tarantulas, and second, several of them are bribed. But third, it's who gets to make this decision. And one of the courts said it should be Congress who makes the decision, not just some Secretary of State somewhere. It's a very, very difficult issue. But the bottom line to take away from this is she found that he had committed insurrection, and she had ridiculous reasons for not supporting or not applying the 14th Amendment. It would have been far better if she'd been up front and said, look, this is a presidential race that's up for the Congress to decide. Okay, I'll tell you what. Coming up, some very good stuff you won't believe.
93.5 The Tap. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Fleet Farm, built for real life.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matson Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Bob and Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Yeah, the reason my mom's third cousin, John F. Kennedy, was assassinated has a lot to do with Cuba. The Bay of Pigs got the CIA mad at him, and the Cuban Missile Crisis was viewed as the second chance to invade Cuba that he ducked. And everybody in the room, including Robert Kennedy, wanted to invade, but John Kennedy held out against everybody in the cabinet room, all the generals and all the cabinet members and everything. And he held out for peace, and he got it. I think that was too much for the anti-communist establishment that liked Lyndon Johnson and a chance to get into a war like Vietnam.
Bob, two things. Is John F. Kennedy really your mom's third cousin? Okay, Bob just hung up. I'd like to think he is. Bob, I hope that you are not kidding. I think that's great. The second of all, before we go to the lines again, I'm going to say this. With all respect, I enjoy Bob's calls, but I do not agree with Bob. I don't think it had anything to do with Cuba. That's what Lyndon Johnson tried to say, and Nixon just said Lyndon didn't like to be number two. It had to do with civil rights, racial things. It was a right-wing group out of Texas that did it. That is the reason, that, in my view, right? That's my view. Bob is his view. Everybody has their view. That's why Matt Flynn Direct has an open line, because we don't do interviews and we don't do co-hosts, but you, the callers, are my co-hosts and my interviewees. Okay, Mike Johnson and Clarence Thomas. I could not believe this, but they have resurrected tape of a speech he gave. Now, admittedly, it was before he became speaker, but it was last year. It wasn't that much before he became speaker, in which he said that Clarence Thomas was on the right path in urging reconsideration of Supreme Court decisions on contraception and same-sex marriage. What he's referring to is Clarence Thomas, a bribed tarantula, who cast the 5-4 deciding vote in Shelby County, getting rid of most of the Voting Rights Act, 5-4 on Citizens United, polluting our collections, and 5-4 on Dobbs, getting rid of Roe v. Wade, did say in some of his decisions, we should go back and reconsider other decisions like Griswold versus Connecticut, which is the contraception case in the early 1960s, and the case basically legalizing gay marriage, same-sex marriage. Now, this is absolute madness. In Griswold v. Connecticut in the early 60s, you wouldn't believe it. You'd think that, what, Connecticut's a liberal state? Let me tell you something. In the early 60s, the law in Connecticut and the law in a lot of states was that you could not buy contraceptives in a pharmacy unless you were married. If you were single, you couldn't do it. If you were living with someone, you couldn't do it. So an 18-year-old college senior or a college kid or kid working, just got out of high school, goes in Connecticut and a lot of states back then, says, I'd like to buy some condoms. And the pharmacist was supposed to say, are you married? And if you say no, he'd say, yeah, I can't sell them to you. If you said yes, which is what usually happened, then he would wink and sell them. But some pharmacists would say, I have to see your marriage license. Now, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. So the Supreme Court, I think it was 9-0, held that there's a right to privacy inherent in the Constitution, and that the state has no business regulating contraception. In the sense of, I'm not saying the safety of pills, but what I'm saying is who decides to use it and who doesn't. In the same-sex marriage case, that was much more recent in history. Massachusetts was the first state that recognized it as a right in the state, roughly 20 years ago. But by then, there was such a hodgepodge. Some states recognized it, some didn't. There's an article in the Constitution that says that every state has to give full faith and credit to the judgments, any court judgment of another state. That's what it says. Full faith and credit. That's the term. Well, what happens if you get married and you get a marriage certificate in Massachusetts? Under the Constitution, another state like Alabama has to give full faith and credit to that. So you'd have the anomalous circumstance that states that outlawed it would have to give full faith and credit to people who move into it from other states, but not people in their own states. And what happened is people would fly to Massachusetts, get married, and come back. Finally, the Supreme Court said, look, there's enough states that have weighed in on this, and we've got to make this uniform. Clarence Thomas has proposed that the court reconsider that case. So you have this hodgepodge, because some states it would not pass. You know, in Wisconsin, it was proposed before the Supreme Court decision, and it failed 59-41. It wouldn't pass, but those states would be required to give full faith and credit to the decision of another state that permitted it. But then you have people moving to your state where it's outlawed, but you had to be grandfathered in. What happens with the probate law? Laws, wills, all of this. It's a mess, to say nothing of the moral issue. Now, it's one thing that Clarence Thomas said. I mean, Clarence Thomas is on the take. But for Mike Johnson, is two heartbeats away from the presidency. Two heartbeats. And we don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know if he has bank accounts. I think he must have, because he processes over 305 grand a year. And he ain't doing that out of a paper bag. But he doesn't disclose them. Why not? Why not? And let me tell you something else, and I'll put it to you this way. All you need to know, Mike Johnson went to Mar-a-Lago to meet with Trump. He walks into Trump's office. Trump says, are you a good boy? Johnson says, yes, I'm a good boy. Trump says, are you a good boy? Johnson says, yes, sir, I'm a good boy. Trump says, quite satisfactory. Phone rings. A while later, Trump picks it up. It's Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin says, are you a good boy? Trump says, yes, I am. Vladimir Putin says again, are you a good boy? Trump says, yes, I am, sir. Vladimir Putin says, quite satisfactory. That's all you need to know about the Republican Party. And that's all you need to know about what the country will look like if Donald Trump is reelected, and especially as some people now have rumored he will pick Mike Johnson as his VP candidate. As his VP candidate. Coming up, if you want to call it that, some good news, an initiative out of the Yale Management School that could go a long way to solving the problems in the Middle East.
Together. Local talk about our hometown and all of Wisconsin has gone untapped until now. You're on 93.5 The Tap. Make sure and tell your friends.
C-103.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin officials are confirming the latest case of bird flu in the state. The Department of Agriculture says more than 51,000 chickens at a poultry farm in Trumbull County were euthanized to try to contain the virus. Five birds were infected in a backyard flock in Taylor County earlier this year. Good government groups are urging the public to pay attention to how the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules on a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps. Justices heard oral arguments yesterday. Nick Ramos is with the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
If we're throwing out the maps and drawing new maps, then it sounds like everybody is going to be up for election.
Assembly district borders have to be in place by March 15th for next November's elections. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Eau Claire Community Haven House is in the market for new space following the sale of the building they currently lease. According to a press release, the organization is scheduled to cease operations on December 5th and must leave the building by December 8th. They are currently looking for temporary alternative sites in the downtown Eau Claire area or on a bus line with nearly 5,000 square feet of space. The building had been listed for sale since June of this year. AAA will activate a campaign to keep impaired drivers off Wisconsin roads during one of the busiest travel times of the year. Starting this Wednesday night, AAA's Tow to Go campaign will run through 6 a.m. on Monday, offering safe rides for potentially impaired drivers and their vehicles for free. The company is asking people to use the program as a last resort, however, and people should plan ahead to have a ride ready if they plan to consume alcohol or drugs over the holiday weekend. And that's what you need to know. I'm James Kelly, WCFW News.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
It's the Bucks against the Celtics. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Boston tonight to take on the Celtics. Tip-off time at TD Garden, 6:30. The Bucks have a five-game winning streak going, while Giannis, coming off Monday night's game, scoring 42 points.
I wish it was easy. I wish I could come in and score 42 every game, you know, but it's hard. You got to work extremely hard.
College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers in Florida. For the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament, they take on SMU in the championship game. NFL, the Packers play the Lions tomorrow in the annual Thanksgiving Day game in Detroit. Kickoff 11:30 tomorrow morning at Ford Field. Matt LaFleur says that rookie tight end Luke Musgrave had to be hospitalized after suffering an abdominal injury against the Chargers. LaFleur telling the story when this happened.
Yeah, he's got a pretty significant injury. So, you know, I think it just speaks to his toughness because he didn't... Wow. That was interesting. Was that Taylor Swift? Okay.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds around this evening, some clearing overnight, and a low in the mid-20s. Mostly sunny and colder for Thanksgiving Day, a high in the low 30s. Sunshine at around 30 on Friday, more clouds around in mid-30s for the rest of the holiday weekend. And it looks like the cold temperatures will stick around next week. It's 42 right now.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
On air, 93.5 FM. Online, thetap.com. And on the Civic Media app. This is 93.5 The Tap. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Wow. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, my friend, Detroit, Michigan. You're next. What's your mind today, Andrew?
Hey, Matt. I'm just thinking, whenever we talk about religion in government, I mean, you look at the Middle East, you look at Israel, you look at all these theocracies. They don't last.
Well, Israel's not a theocracy, Andrew. Israel's not a theocracy. It's a democracy. But go ahead.
I'm going to say they act like it. You know, that's my opinion. So, but we do not have a theocracy in this country, and we should not allow it. In fact, I think in God we trust. No, in us we trust. In our democracy we trust. One nation. In the world with liberty and justice for all sounds, this whole theocratic idea. No, I am never going to believe in what you call, not you, but them call Christianity. And you're never going to agree with me in what I call Christianity. So it's got to stop. And one last thought. Tomorrow in Detroit, go Lions. Packers, pack your bags and go back home. Have a good day.
Good call. And we're a country built on separation of church and state and no established religion. And that's the most profound insight in political philosophy. And is the core basis for why we are as free as we are. As far as Packers and Lions, let me tell you something. I've had Packer tickets since about the late 80s, finally gave them over to my sister and brother-in-law. And I remember the days. Remember Barry Sanders, what a great running back he was? We had an option. We were able to draft him. We could have drafted him. We didn't draft him. We drafted somebody else who didn't pan out. But I'll tell you, except for the playing the Packers, I like to see the Lions win. The Lions had very, very tough seasons for 30 years, at least 30 years. As long as I've known them, they were sort of the sad sacks of the league. Now they're up there. They could be in the Super Bowl. So I will say this. Green Bay is going to win tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day. But after that, I hope the Lions run the table as long as they're not playing Green Bay. Because Green Bay is sacred. Absolutely sacred. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling us. Your mind, Wisco Paul.
Thanks for taking my call, Matt. I do believe they drafted a gentleman by the name of Tony Mandrich, an offensive lineman.
Oh, right. Barry Sanders. But
I think it was. And he was supposed to be really great. He just didn't quite pan out. But I want to back up a little bit and talk about Clarence Thomas for a second here and how he's changed our country in the last 20 years. I mean, you could go with all kinds of cases he's put his thumb on, but the biggest one is Citizens United, and the political environment is awash with money. And if I have this correct, we really don't know where it comes from anymore. It could be money from Russia. And so that opens the door for a lot of corruption in our democracy, because if you say like Senator Johnson and somebody's, I don't know exactly how this stuff works or how you can get away with certain stuff here, but to turn down their Russian money. And so that's my take. And as Clarence Thomas has done more to wreck of democracy in a lot of ways, even the voting bill, and then anybody I can recall. So with that, I'm rooting for the Packers, but I'm with you on the Lions thing. It'd be kind of cool to see them win if we don't. All right, thanks, Matt.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Good call as always, and have a happy Thanksgiving to you and every other one of my callers. Let me tell you my take on it. Clarence Thomas is a sad case. He grew up poor, and I get all that. But do you realize that he single-handedly is the 5-4 vote in Shelby County and Citizens United and Dobbs? That's the Voting Rights Act, gerrymandering, for instance. That's dark money, crooked money. And that's Roe v. Wade getting overturned, single-handedly did that. And the sad thing is, he did it for money. And the other sad thing is, it wasn't a lot of money. They bought his mom's house and repaired it and put a roof on it, and a fence or a gate, and she can stay there free. It's not a very big house. I think that the house probably worth 150 grand. He's flown around on planes and that kind of thing, going to resorts. His nephew, or the kid that he treats as his son, boarding school tuition was 55 or 60 grand a year. Yeah, that's a lot of money to you and me, but not if you know that you got Shelby County, that you got Citizens United and Dobbs. These are billionaires. This is trivial. This is chump change. But that is exactly what happened. And that's exactly, you know, we see a case in front of the Supreme Court and everybody goes, oh, I wonder how they'll go. And you don't have to wonder how they'll go. You don't wonder how a Russian court goes. You know, and then somebody is up, this poor guy, this Gershovich, who is the Wisconsin State, the Wall Street Journal guy. He has another 10 years added to his sentence. The judges sit there gravely stroking their chins. They go in the chambers and they get a call from Putin's office and it's dictated to them. Those are Russian judges. Well, some of our Supreme Court are Russian judges right now. And it's very, very sad. And it really has hurt our democracy. Joe Madison, my friend, thanks for calling. Joe, what's in your mind today?
Great calls, great show. I'm interested in a couple of things. I wanted to make a comment and then also ask a question. The first thing I was going to do is go back to, you had started talking about the anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. And I just wanted to commend to you and your callers, that your audience, there's a great book out by a guy named David Talbot, who looked at the relationship and what happened during the time when JFK was in office and his brother, Bobby Kennedy. And I remember reading it and really overcome with a sense of how much people can change by events that happen in their life. Bobby Kennedy was a really, let's go after it, rough and tumble guy, who was really hit hard by his brother's early death and his assassination. And this book does comment on the ways in which he was really haunted by what happened there, and that may have caused an opening in his heart, more of a compassion to understand the poor people in this country and the struggles that people go through in a way that really wasn't open to him before this situation in his life occurred. It's just one part of the book. I'd really recommend it to people if you're interested in how personality and politics and people's own personal lives play out on that public sphere. So Brothers is the name of the book again, and it's by David Talbot. But I did have a question. You were going over the Dobbs decision, Matt, and you were talking about, two questions, basically. Number one, when you're going over the Dobbs decision, you were talking about the full faith and credit and how that had been central to the issue of Griswold. How does that play out in terms of states having to recognize what another state is doing in terms of the Dobbs decision? I'd be interested in you talking about that. And then the last thing I wanted to say is, you know, it's too bad Mark hasn't called to because I know he'd been very interested in the situation with the 14th Amendment and keeping Trump off the ballot because he had engaged in insurrection. I don't know how this judge in Colorado is going to dance away from the situation that preserve the Constitution does not cover the same ground as supporting the Constitution. And I, again, would be curious to have you talk a little bit about that. I don't know what kind of parsing you could do that, because if you're going to preserve the Constitution, that means you don't overthrow government. You have elections with a peaceful transfer of power. Anyway, I'd be curious to know your thoughts about those two points. Thanks very much, Matt.
Yeah, it's a great call as always, Joe. And thank you for that book recommendation. I'm a big fan of the Kennedy family. And it was Teddy's Milwaukee County chairman when he ran for president 1980. And I'm going to definitely get that book. You had two great questions. One, how does full faith and credit square with Dobbs? And the number two, what about this Colorado decision? Well, here's the answer. The Constitution says that every state must give full faith and credit to the judgments of another state. Well, that has been interpreted when you go in, for instance, let's say somebody has a divorce, that's a judgment. A wedding is a wedding license, and that is a court record of that state. Another state has to give it full faith and credit. Well, Dobbs had to do with abortion. And there were two decisions in Dobbs. One was, is the Mississippi statute outlawing abortion after 15 weeks constitutional? And that passed 6-3. But Roberts tried to get them not to approach Roe v. Wade. He said, you don't have to. We've already decided this case. That Dobbs is a rogue decision when it overruled Roe v. Wade because they didn't have to. There's a doctrine in law that says do not reach a constitutional issue if it's not necessary. They violated that. And so the question is, if a state like New York or California legalized it, they can legalize it in their own state. But what does Alabama give full faith and credit to? The one thing I will say is that Idaho has a law that says that if you leave the state to go to a permissive state for abortion, you've committed an Idaho felony. That would be overturned. I think full faith and credit wouldn't be the exact analysis, but it would be analogous. In other words, if they go to Illinois, that's Illinois' business, none of your business, Idaho. But I don't think that it can be twisted into a judgment or a court record to transport New York or California, Illinois law to Alabama. And then on what this Colorado judge did, there's no law student that would say that if I take an oath to protect and preserve the Constitution, that's different from supporting it. That's just not common sense. And also, no law student, no any student would say the president is not a federal official. He's the federal official. He's the federal official. I think that it was the death threats, and she tried to pass the buck up to the Colorado Supreme Court to take the heat. Joe, great call. Tom of Hartford, my friend. Thanks for calling, Tom. What's in your mind today?
Hi. When you used to have Tom Harmon on the Madison station, he knew a guy, a writer, who was really into the death of JFK, and he really had it figured out of why it happened, and the mafia and stuff like that, how they were involved. So my suggestion is that you look up Tom Harmon. I'm sure he's got some of those pods or something like that that talk about JFK's death. I mean, really, really well researched. It's too bad that Tom's not on the air anymore, Tom Hartman. But that's the best explanation I've ever heard on that subject. I don't know if you have any idea about that at all.
No, I didn't heard that. I'm very grateful for the referral. And I'm a huge fan of the Kennedy family, and I am hugely concerned about what happened in that assassination. And I really appreciate that call, Tom. Well, I want to get to the one thing we were going to talk about. I'll do it real quick. The dean of the Yale Management School last week held a Middle East peace dialogue, and it was attended by Muslim and Jewish people, Americans. It was attended by the United Arab Emirates Ambassador Youssef El Otaiba and Israeli Ambassador Michael Herzog and Dennis Ross, a former ambassador to Israel and an expert on the subject. And believe it or not, Jared Kushner, who was essentially the architect of the Abraham Accords. And as much as I criticized Jared Kushner and everything they did, the Abraham Accords were a huge development. And they proposed a $50 billion Marshall Plan type plan for Gaza, the West Bank, and Israel that would drop Palestinian unemployment from 30% to single digits. It would reduce Palestinian poverty by 50%. There'd be a $5 billion highway between Gaza and the West Bank, all in return for normalizing relations with Israel. It would be a massive economic investment from private sector as well as governments. It's a great idea. The question is, how can it be sold there so that the Hamases and the sadists are kept out of the equation? Coming up. Why are dissent?
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
What do you mean he's not coming in? This is our busiest time.
The mixologist at Claude's Bar is moving to Manhattan.
I'm already down two bar backs. No one's manning front of
house. Now he needs an equally cosmopolitan replacement.
How am I going to find a new bartender before New Year's Eve?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Instant Match instantly connects you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your sponsored job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday season, Capital One reminds you to give yourself the gift of 1.5% cash back with the Capital One Quicksilver Card.
Can I earn 1.5% cash back on birds?
Birds?
What if you sent your true love two turtle doves plus a partridge in a pear tree?
Sure, but why would anyone want that?
The song was very convincing.
Earn 1.5% cash back on all your holiday purchases with the Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
93.5 The Tap.
Greenfield. RobertHackDiamonds.com.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt the Director. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, this is very strange, very, very strange. We knew about it when it initially happened, but it's really coming to a head right now. The Washington Post just filed a lawsuit just now demanding that the government of Florida turn over DeSantis's travel records. Now, here's the background. Just before he announced he was going to run for president, the gerrymandered Republican Florida legislature passed a law that exempted the governor's travel records from the open records laws in Florida. And they have a tough one, and they even had a constitutional amendment back in 1992. So what happens is a newspaper or you or me, we could ask for his records and they'll tell us to pound stand. So nobody in the public knows how much he is paying, for instance, for state travel. In other words, using state planes, where he's going. Is he using them for campaign events, which is against the law? What is he doing internationally on trade missions? Where's he going? What's he doing? It bars from public view every record connected with it. So they sent an open records request to the state police, who guard him, saying, let's see your records. And they wrote back and said, no, you're not getting them because we think we're included in the bar for the governor, which isn't what the statute says. They're just saying it. He's spending millions of taxpayer dollars every year, and he won't let the public know where he's going and why he's going there. You know, in other states like ours, the governor puts out a schedule every day. And if he takes a trip, he lets you know. And even with Voss and the Gableman, where he used our taxpayer dollars as his piggy bank, we were able to determine how much he was spending. In Florida, with travel, that would not be the case. That would not be the case. And also, DeSantis, when you do issue an open records request to him that is not for travel. In other words, it's not protected by this. He delays, takes forever, and then he'll charge a truly excessive amount for, quote, research, end quote, for finding the record, even though his secretary had to do is press a button and spit it out. Now, this is a question. He's not going to be the nominee. And the sad thing is, early on in his career, He was a moderate Republican. He was a very good friend to Paul Ryan. I disagree with Paul Ryan on a lot of issues, but Paul Ryan stood up to Trump. Paul Ryan is not going to go to the Republican convention in Milwaukee this July. And the drive from Janesville to Milwaukee is not a long drive. He could easily do it. But it's because if Donald Trump will be the nominee. DeSantis used to be that way, but then he made a calculation that for him, the way to survive in the Republican Party and then really make it is to be Trumpy, Trumpier than Trump. And he's gone after Disney. He's gone after things. He does it in a clumsy way. People don't like him. It does not suit his personality. It's phony. But the larger point is that Trump would do something like this. Remember, he wouldn't disclose his tax returns. Every president discloses his tax returns. You read about it. Around April 15, you read about they did it. They had income of X. They paid this much in taxes. And the average person then looks at that and says, well, yeah, that makes sense. And I pay taxes. Trump wouldn't do that. He wouldn't do that. He said he was being audited. You're not audited forever. I don't think he was audited at all. He just did not do it. So DeSantis would be that on steroids. I mean, with the president, at least you have to know where he's going. Although the governor of South Carolina, if you remember the guy who snuck off to Argentina to visit a mistress, and he just put out word that he was hiking the Appalachian Trail, but he got on a plane and people recognized he's the governor. It was very stupid and crazy. Very, very crazy and stupid. But there you have it. There you have Mike DeSantis. And it's very disappointing. It's also wrong. But you have a guy who, he's a governor, he has an obligation, and he won't give any information. I want to quick catch everybody up on Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville continues to block well over 400 military promotions. Some generals and admirals have now simply put in retirement notices for December 31st. The Republicans won't break the filibuster. Schumer will put in a promotion, and you can't get 9 Republicans to break the filibuster. Not even Mitch McConnell. People like Ron Johnson support Tuberville. Tim Scott, Rick Scott from Florida supports Tuberville. These people are knifing our military. Many of them didn't serve in the military. They're chicken hawks. They're chicken hawks. Trump has insulted the military, insulted veterans, insulted the people buried at Arlington Cemetery, insulted the graves of people who were buried in Normandy, saying what was in it for them. And did not, he flew to France and didn't go to a dedication ceremony because it was raining. He's the one that said, as to McCain, John McCain, he didn't like guys who were captured. He was never captured because he said he had bone spurs and never went. McCain was, quote, captured because he was shot out of the sky lying there unconscious. You can't fight your captors when you're unconscious with broken bones. McCain was put in the Hanoi Hilton, it was called. It was a terrible torture chamber of a prison. He was there 4 or 5 years. And they offered to release him to break American morale because his father was the commanding officer of the Third Fleet. And he said, I'm not leaving until every other American here leaves. That's a man with courage. That's a man with courage. Well, coming up, a lot of news and weather, another great show, Devil's Advocate with Dom and Crew. Listen, everybody out there, have a happy Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. We are a free country. We are America. We're putting up with things and putting up with obstacles, but we have in our past. We have a lot to be thankful for, our freedom and the fact that we're Americans. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday. Sign off for today.
Step on up and enjoy what's on tap today. Local talk about the Valley and all of Wisconsin. In fact, it's on tap every day. This is 93.5 The Tap. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special.